It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table.
We are back at the table, and joining us is our teacher, Sunny Shell, for the Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. And Sunny, today we're looking at Proverbs 31, verse 23. Again, we are looking at another part of a series on three wise women. Now, last time you were here, we talked about Zipporah. Who are we talking about today?
We are talking about our lovely Ruth, the great-grandmother of King David, who is the Moabitess, the Gentile who actually gets to be included in the great lineage of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So very, very, very exciting gal.
And she had an awesome mother-in-law too, didn't she? A spiritual mom.
Well, kind of. When you go through the book of Ruth, you see that Ruth is pretty stellar. Naomi, not so much. Remember, immediately after all this happens and she goes back to Bethlehem, you know, when everyone's like, hey, Naomi's at you, she goes, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara.
Mara, bitter.
My life is bitter. I was like, wow, how about call you Miss Happy, you know? I was, you know, as I've read the book of Ruth quite a few times, I just love it. I mean, it's a very small book, so it's an easy read for me to say, hey, I've read a whole book in the Bible several times. But the thing that I love about Ruth is through that, even her relationship with Naomi, she shows what a biblically submissive woman looks like. As a matter of fact, Ruth is the only book in the Bible that actually gives a clear depiction, the best depiction of what a biblically submissive woman looks like.
Do tell. This is great.
Yeah, and so I'm starting this one off. We talked about Zipporah last time, and we said, you know, biblically submissive wife protects life. And in Ruth, we're going to concentrate on that a biblically submissive wife sows humility. Mm-hmm. Sows not S-E-W, but S-O-W.
Yes.
She works in humility in others. And so we'll cover the whole book of Ruth, Ruth 1:16 through 18, and those passages, you see that Ruth makes a declaration of saving faith so that we know that this wasn't emotion-led, this wasn't sentiment, this was, again, as we talked last week about what Zipporah did, there was an action, like James says, you know, faith without deeds is dead. There was an action, and there was a verbal confession that was made that proved her salvation. And Ruth did the same thing. She not only confessed God as her God, but she also was going to travel to his land.
And here she was in the midst of grief, wasn't she? She was a widow. Her husband was killed.
Well, it wasn't just that. It's she lost three family members,
yes.
Pretty much boom, boom, boom. So, yes, she lost her father-in-law, she lost her brother-in-law, and she lost her husband. So you have the situation where you have three desperate widows. And back those times, widows, it wasn't a good thing to be a widow. You might as well be dead to be a widow, because back in the day that Ruth lived, women didn't have another option but just to be married or to live under the household of her father, because there really weren't jobs or any professions for women, proper jobs, I should say. So if you were a widow, it was like you were considered as good as dead unless you got married to somebody. So it was a very hopeless situation. It's not quite like what it is today when we think of widows. It's quite different. She was very destitute to be a widow, and then she was with an older destitute woman, her mother-in-law Naomi, who honestly, if anything else, she was dead weight at the time, rather than be a blessing. She was depressed. She was a little angry and bitter. We know that because she says, you know, God took all this, you know, I came to this land of Moab full, and God has left me empty. You know, and that's why she changes her name to Mara, to bitter. She's bitter. Mm-hmm. She says it, so it's not a guess. She's not a very happy and lovely companion to travel on this way, because you know there it wasn't a very long, very quick travel. They're going from Moab to Bethlehem, so this is quite a long time that Naomi gets to travel with an older woman who she really has no obligation to anymore, because she's not legally bound to her since their husbands are dead.
Yes,
she's complaining, she's embittered, and she's depressed.
But she does come around, and she plays a key role in how Ruth responds in humility. Tell us about that.
Actually, what happens there is she comes around because of Ruth. It's kind of the other way around. Ruth is the one who, you know, instead of feeling sorry for herself, just like Naomi was doing, she decides to act on the faith that she professes. She trusts God, and she's coming under her covering. So she takes the initiative, actually, rather than Naomi, the older woman, to go find a job and provide for them. Because normally in that time, even if you think of it this time, it would be the other way around. The mother would be taking care of the child, you know, or, and especially since Naomi's going to her hometown, so she knows the area and she knows the people. And instead of finding a way and providing something for them and telling them what to do, Naomi actually shows humility by taking the initiative. So really the humility that's shown is Ruth to Naomi versus the other way around. Because you see, Naomi comes to Ruth. Now, I know, me not being as biblically submissive as Ruth, I wouldn't have done this. If I was with a depressed, bitter, you know, unhappy person, I probably wouldn't go to them and say, hey, would it be okay with you if I provided us some sustenance so we don't die? You know, which is essentially what Ruth said. I'd be like, hey, look, I know you're depressed, you can't get out of bed, and you're a little bitter about everything, but, you know, one of us has to go provide or we're just going to die. So I'm going to go take care of that while you're depressed, and I'll be back. You know, you just, and we do that as women. We see a situation, we just go, look, just handle it. Right? But Ruth didn't do that. She remained submissive, and she went to this bitter, depressed woman and said, you know, basically, if it's okay with you, do you mind if I go do the worst humiliating beggar's job and go glean in some field just so we can live? Would that be all right with you? I'm amazed at just that line, you know, and Naomi's like, well, yeah, okay, sure, that makes sense, you know. And then Ruth does. She goes and she takes the most humiliating job that there is at that time, which is gleaning after the harvest of others. And because of that, it says God blessed her and let her, quote-unquote, happen to go on the land of a very kind, Christ-like kinsman redeemer. Well, of course, she didn't know that, of Naomi's, who, you know, because Ruth worked so hard and so diligently without complaint and takes such good care of her mother-in-law, Naomi, who's doing nothing, she gets this great reputation. Everyone knows this.
Yeah.
And so when Boaz shows up in town and says, who is that strange woman? Because they can tell that she's not a Jewess. And says, oh, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law. You know, since the day that they showed up, she has not stopped day and night except for a little break to glean and work hard so that she could provide for Naomi. Now, everyone looked at that and went, wow, that's why it was remarkable. Because like I said, it would have been right actually for Naomi to be leading that charge, for both of them to be in the field gleaning, or Naomi trying to look for something because she still had relatives and she knew people there. But Naomi was of no use. She was at home depressed and bitter.
And then, but then what happened? She actually had some advice for Ruth, and in her humility, Ruth took that advice, didn't she?
Well, yes, because she continues the humility. She had advice for Ruth after. This is how I was saying, you know, she sowed joy and humility in Naomi, because Naomi, who was bitter this whole time and somewhat angry with God for taking everything away from her as if she deserved anything good, just like we act, after seeing Ruth's humility and how God had blessed her, because we see continually God has her bring back more and more, and Boaz is showing her favor and so forth, and now Naomi's finally getting happy. She's finally getting encouraged because she's saying, oh, God does remember us. But it's all, again, because of what Ruth has been doing. It's because of her humility. And then when she tells her where she happened upon, and that's Boaz, and she says, oh, Naomi says, hey, that's one of our kinsmen redeemers. So it was because of Ruth's humility, her hard work, her faith and trust in God, that she gave back to Naomi, her mother-in-law, faith, hope, and trust in God, and the humility to say, okay, thank you, we need to act on this, and I know the custom. Finally, she steps up.
Mm-hmm.
I know the custom. Here's what you do, since he's a kinsman redeemer, and God's obviously given you favor in his eyes. Here's what you do to see if he'll marry you.
It's an amazing story. And
yeah.
I really encourage women to take a look at this one, because it's so rich and full of this. I look at the gospel through the eyes of an obedient Ruth, who, by the way, her humility breeds humility in those around her, as we just saw with Naomi and everyone else. And beautiful story of obedience. Well, Sunny, that is where we're going to leave it for today. We're going to let people know that if you go to naomistable.com, you can download this entire study. Take some time with this one. Bring this to your own kitchen table with perhaps some other women and really get into the Word of God. And this is a great one to talk to other older women and younger women about the life of Ruth in this very wise and obedient woman. We'll be right back.